The Success in South Florida podcast is brought to you by the team at Rawson Law Firm. If you need DUI or criminal defense representation, call the Rawson Law Firm at 754-206-6200 or check the description of today's episode for more contact information. The Rawson Law Firm, helping good people when bad things happen so they can achieve their best futures.
Welcome to Success in South Florida, featuring interviews with entrepreneurs, leaders, and other movers and shakers across South Florida to find out how they're doing their part to enhance the local community. Your host is Adam Rawson, the founder and CEO of the Rawson Law Firm. Adam's an award-winning attorney, former prosecutor, and a lifelong South Florida resident. He became an attorney because he believes in helping those in need and in crafting lifelong relationships in the community. This podcast is an extension of that mission. Let's get to today's interview. Here's Adam Rawson.
All right, everybody. Welcome back to another episode of Success in South Florida. I'm your host, Adam Rawson from the Rawson Law Firm. And today's guest is a very special guest, very close friend, mentor of mine, Cesar Quintero from The Profit Recipe. Cesar, how you doing today?
Hey, Adam. Thanks for having me here, man.
Oh, I'm so excited to have you here. Yeah. So excited. So, Cesar, why don't you just tell everybody who you are and what you do?
Sure. So my name is Cesar Quintero. I am a partner at The Profit Recipe. We help entrepreneurs decentralize themselves from the company and help create an aligned vision and a system of execution and transparency and accountability within their team so that they can grow and get what they want from their business.
Awesome. That sounds great. So tell us a little bit about your entrepreneurial journey.
Sure. Yeah. So I'm originally from Venezuela in South America. And I went to school there, graduated as an engineer, went to Procter & Gamble for a couple of years, learned kind of my corporate handing there. But then at 24, decided to get married, move to Miami, and start a business all at the same time. Because, you know, that's what we do when we're 24. There's no risk at that age.
Right. Yeah. No, yeah. It's what I tell people. So I started the law firm in 2008 when I was 26.
Yeah.
And people were like, weren't you terrified? And I was like, yeah, I was terrified, but I had nothing and no responsibility. So to me, it was the best time ever to just try it.
Same. So yeah. So I moved to Miami, a new country, and went into an industry I had no idea about. So I started a food delivery service. We cooked and delivered meals to people in their office. Mind you, this is pre-Facebook, pre-Uber Eats, pre-Google Maps even, right? There was no Google Maps back then. So it was us. We had a website and people went online. They placed the orders and we would deliver it, cook it and deliver. So, you know, we grew with the market and we grew with, it was healthy and convenient. So we grew. Within 4 years, we were probably over the $1 million mark. And then by 2012, I was probably at 3 million. We had about 1,200 to 1,300 meals delivered per day. And that's when crisis hit. And I got hit with a class action lawsuit. I was a fifth company targeted by a woman and an attorney. I had Uber before Uber, right? I had 17 drivers. They were all independent contractors. They even drove for other competitors. But thankfully, not everybody joined the suit. Only the new people joined the suit. But that made me realize, you know, everything I had built up to that point was not aligned with what I wanted in life. I was resenting the company. I hated my company. So I think 2012 became that place of reinvention. And so I read this book called Traction, started implementing EOS. I did my purpose discovery with Simon Sinek before he was famous. So went through that process of purpose.
So it was much cheaper back then, right?
It was much cheaper back then. And it was okay. It was one to one. So it was like, not one to one, but it was like a small group. And going through that and really understanding that most of my time and energy was being spent on the product, the process, the profit of the business, and not so much on my people. And my people were really my passion. My people is my superpower. So that's when I realized, wow, if I shift my energy and my time and where I spend my time and energy, I can get better results. And that's exactly what happened. Within a year, we were able to settle the lawsuit, pay all the attorneys, and the business doubled in size, quadrupled in profit. And it was mostly because my team was taking ownership. I realized I was the biggest issue in my business. And I was like, I wasn't allowing people to make decisions. So with that, I realized, you know, I started teaching other companies to go through what I went through. Eventually, I sold my company in 2016. And then in 2020, I launched my firm, The Profit Recipe. That's where now we have six implementers, and we help a community of over 160 companies gain traction.
Well, and one of those companies is the Rossin Law Firm, and we absolutely love you, Caesar, and love everything that you do for us. And I don't think we'd be anywhere near where we are without you and your guidance and putting up with us. So,
you know. you guys, you're one of my favorites. I love working with, you know, because I'm an entrepreneur, right? So I come with that experience. But at the same time, you know, we have companies that are smaller, and we have, like, you know, big companies like Crocs and Duracell and, you know, different publicly held companies. But the reality is that the impact you really see is at the smaller business size, because everything you say you do, and you can see the impact immediately. So I personally have left those big corporates. My team works with them, but I like working with smaller teams that I can see the impact of the process immediately.
Right. Those big guys are great for the resume.
Exactly. They're great for the ego.
Right. But it's us where, yeah, I mean, well, look, in the last 2.5 years of working with us, like, we've quadrupled, and, you know, large part to you and the issues that get uncovered and the you know, hard discussions that we have at our quarterlies and our annuals and whatever. We're like, oh, emergency, call Caesar. Let's fix this. So yeah, you've had a huge
impact. Funny thing is, you know, I'm just here with systems and tools. It's really about you guys making the work and the decision making, right? So it's, I think we provide a framework to help you make better decisions, but eventually your results are about you and the actions that, you know, your team has done. So
well, that's what being a coach is, right?
Yeah,
I mean, in a way, you know, you don't. I mean, maybe you help us draw up the plays, right? You do, but you're not there running them. You're not there in our day to day, but you are the coach. You're the mentor. And we absolutely love it, and love you for that. So let me go back a little bit to your entrepreneurial journey. How did you, you know, you're young, getting married, no, you know, sometimes I like to say, back for me, I was like, yeah, I was kind of too dumb to fail. You know, we had a plan.
Exactly.
And of course the plan was a terrible plan, but we thought it was a great plan when I started. I was kind of too dumb to fail in a way. But how did you decide food delivery? And did you have any experience in this?
So it's funny because in college, when I was in university, we had, you know, it's a process engineering with a master's in business at the same time. So it was like this dual program. In one of those classes, they made us come up with a new business. And the business I came up with was Uber Eats, actually. And this is 98, 99, right? So, but the technology just wasn't there. So it was like, I would have to send a receipt to different companies through the internet. How do we do that? Through email. So it was more complex. Like we couldn't get it there. And when I moved to Miami, I was, so Venezuela was going down. It's, you know, it's socialist romp. And that's when we, you know, I said, there's no future for me here. I worked for a big corporation traveling, you know, all Latin America. One night of hotel was more than my monthly salary, right? So I'm like, this doesn't make sense. So I moved to America, you know, finding the American dream. And then I came to Brickle, and it all started because Brickle really had nothing healthy to eat. And I'm like, oh, there's a need here. And, you know, there's this false perception that everybody needs to eat. So I thought food, it was the first thing that came to mind, which, you know, in my first book, the first line is, do not get into food because, you know, it's low margins, logistics, it's awful. But I had no idea. I didn't know any better. So I said, you know, there's this way that I could centralize a kitchen in an affordable way and then deliver all over. So it was just it was a new concept. And I said, this would solve the issue for all those people that can't eat healthy at lunchtime. So that's how it started. I had no idea. And my fallback was, well, if this doesn't work, I'll go do an MBA or something later.
Right. Yeah. Well, and obviously it did, and through the ups and the downs.
Yeah.
And so you talked about 2012, right? And kind of having that, you know, the class action lawsuit, which I've heard you talk about many, many, many times.
Yeah.
And how that just reframed you. So, and I know you read Traction and went through the Y seminar. But was this just like a one day wake up epiphany, or did this take, you know, months or a year or two? And how did you deal with kind of emotionally and mentally with that process?
So I had just gotten accepted into a program in MIT that was a master's in entrepreneurship. It was a program, a master's entrepreneurship program, with amazing speakers, amazing people. And walking into the, I was in Boston, walking into the program, I got the email. So it freaked me out. It freaked me out. And I didn't know what to do. I didn't know how to react. And then I see, you know, all these people. There were like 60 people in my class. And I just said, like, I just got hit with a lawsuit. Like, I don't know how to manage this. And everybody just turned around and saw me and go, like, raise your hand if you've never gotten a lawsuit. You know, it's like only one person out of the 60 raised their hand. And it was comforting in misery, right? So, you know, it's, you know, misery likes company. So right. It kind of like, well, if they overcame it, I could. I did take it personally, though. I took it personally. I wanted to prove that I had done nothing wrong. Even though my attorney kept saying, it's like, just give her some money. It's fine. Let's settle this. I'm like, no, on the principle of it, right? She told me to my face, she had already bankrupted two companies, right? So like, we were the fifth company they were targeting, and like, it was just messy. I took it personally. This was June of 2011, actually. So it took like a year for it to, then the 2012 is when I started that process of, okay, my health was deteriorating, my business was deteriorating, all my energy was focused on this lawsuit versus, and then where your focus goes, your attention goes, and your energy goes, and your money goes, right? So my company started plateauing for the first time ever. And it hit me health-wise. Like, my knees started swelling up. I developed like gout and arthritis and sleep. Like, I developed all this stuff. And what I realized is that I was internalizing a lot of that control, you know? I wanted to be in control this whole time. It was Black Friday of 2012 is when I realized that something needed to change. And I remember everybody was out there shopping and doing all the stuff. And I had $0 in my personal account, $0 in my business account. And that's when I said, like, you know, this needs to change. And usually December, nobody wants to eat healthy in December either.
Right.
So nobody was ordering. Money wasn't flowing in the company. Right. We were waiting for January to come and that'll boom. But, you know, so like, I gave myself 2 weeks. I said, we're in December. I can't do anything. Like, and I just wallowed. I just stayed there. And I said, I need to feel this. I need to go through this. I need to go through this. So we're talking about a year of this coming to this point and me taking like a couple of weeks to really strategize the next steps. But come January, I'm like, screw it. We're changing. And that's when I started reading, looking for help, and started my self-development growth. I think one of the things that I learned mostly here was, you know, as the owner of a company and the entrepreneur, we always have this false perception that we need to be a superhero, and all our team members always want us to save the day. And I think for the first time, I was able to be honest with them. And when I saw $0 in our bank account, I'm like, shoot, I need your help. Right. It was the first time I was able to bring down that mask and bring down that super cape and say, you know, guys, I need you to band with me and we need to figure out what to do as a team. And I think it was my first step into purposeful leadership and really being more authentic as a leader.
And the rest is history, right?
Yeah. You know, what surprised me was that when I opened up to them, you know, where I felt that they could judge me or they could feel fear as in, oh, the company can't sustain. What are we going to do? And everybody banded together, and it was crazy how much ownership everybody took, and everybody was willing to give that extra mile. And, you know, within a year, we were able to pay all our attorneys. Like, we racked up like $200,000+ of attorney's fees. Eventually, the woman only took $500. That was my piece. But her attorney, my attorney, right, the process, like everything was so ridiculous that we were able to pay it off in a year, and we quadrupled in profit, which was incredible to me. And I even misquantified the level of bonuses that people took on based on the results, because I never thought we could achieve those results. But that first year, people took like 2 months of salary as bonuses because we were able to improve our company and our bonuses so much.
Well, that's great. I mean, that's amazing.
Yeah.
And so, you know, kind of like a phoenix rising from the ashes of defeat. And
then, it was. Right. You know, it reframed what success was for me. And I know, you know, the podcast name and everything, but it reframed success for me because before I think I was always proving to others, you know, like my first years in business was all about proving my parents that I could make it, proving to my friends that I could be an entrepreneur, proving to my spouse that I could, you know, get ahead. And I think in 2012, 2013, that's when I shifted more into, you know, it's more of a collaborative approach. It's not so much me in the spotlight, but it's how do we all grow together? How do we create impact and more of a, you know, stakeholder economy where everybody wins, you know?
Right. And so what would, you know, this brings us to a great question that we ask everybody. What is your definition? You know, Caesar, you know, Quintero, I can't say it right. Caesar's definition of success.
My definition of success is something that's win, 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 right? So it's something that brings me value personally. It's something that brings value to all stakeholders, employees, customers, investors at all levels, but also something that brings value to community and world. I think that nowadays more than ever, you know, it's kind of the ikigai concept, right? It's really understanding what your purpose is, what you're great at, what you can make money on, and what can be good for the world is really where we should all be headed towards. I think it's been proven more and more now that the more you involve your team, the more you involve your vendors, the more you involve your community, the more successful and profitable you'll be as a business as well, because it just creates synergy and co-elevation at all levels, you know?
Right. And you talked about, you know, your exit. Well, you sold to the employees, right?
Yeah.
So yep. Talk to us just a little bit about that, how you positioned yourself and the company and them, or they, you know, collaboratively, where they could then take over and run it.
Yeah. So we started implementing something called, it was a book called The Great Game of Business by Jack Stack. So we started using his methodology of opening the books and having people own certain parts of each line item. So everybody was aware of our profitability. Everybody was aware of where we needed to focus on. So there were people that owned like utilities and people that owned inventory and people that owned, you know, delivery costs and different things. So we were all owning different pieces. What that created was a level of transparency in the company where my chef, come 2016, I didn't know this, but he came from money. And he said, you know, I love the culture. I love where we are. I see we need more investment. I was already doing a lot of other things at that point. And that's when he said, you know, I'm interested in really being part as a partner. So that was the first time I sold 50%. So he bought in that 50%. We did a valuation. We did the whole thing. And then the second half was in 2019, where I was more of a silent partner now in my food business. So I was really doing more of the consulting and the implementation and the speaking engagements. So that's when, you know, he needed an operating partner. And we had an employee who was an amazing person who'd been with us for 2.5 years only, but she just had this owner mindset from she started cleaning and, you know, cleaning plates and prepping and then delivering and doing all this stuff. And little by little, she rose to operations manager in the kitchen. And eventually we were able to get an SBA buyout loan and finance that for her. So then she bought the second half and I was able to extract myself from that business and start using my time and energy and my superpowers, you know?
Right. Oh, and Caesar, that's an amazing story. What I want to do is we're going to take a quick break to hear from our sponsor. And when we come back, I want to talk all about your superpower. I want to talk about the profit recipe, what you're doing for, you know, and building a community of entrepreneurs, not just in South Florida, but nationwide. So we'll be right back as we hear from our sponsor.
When something bad happens, who do you turn to? In South Florida, the answer is the Rawson Law Firm. Criminal and DUI defense for when bad things happen to good people. The Rawson Law Firm is a team of 8 criminal defense attorneys, including 2 board-certified criminal trial experts. They also have federal and white-collar divisions in the practice. To learn more about the team and how they can help you, connect on Facebook and Instagram at Rawson Law Firm. You'll also find helpful and entertaining videos on Rawson Law Firm YouTube channel. Just check this episode's description for all the ways you can connect.
Okay, we are back on the Success in South Florida podcast with our big special guest today, Cesar Quintero.
The best I can do it, right?
All right, so Cesar, you talked and you said people are your superpower. So let's talk about that. What do you mean by that?
Yeah, you know, one of the things I tell leaders all the time is you need to know what your superpower is, right? And we can do that through values, purpose, you know, and what your unique ability is, what Dan Sullivan calls unique ability. And the reality is that if we're spending our time doing things that we're not supposed to be doing, then we're wasting our time, right? A lot of times we do stuff that's not part of, you know, our superpower. So sometimes we get stuck with things that we're good at, but we hate to do just because we can't train somebody or it's hard to delegate or something like that. So when I realized my superpower was people, and really empowering people and helping them with tools and systems to get them to the next level, I realized that the way I showed up in my business was not that way. And I said, okay, so how do I align all my actions into my superpowers? How do I align my actions into my values, into my purpose, into what I'm good at? And so that's when I started focusing internally in my business, and I let them focus externally. So all my management team had full ownership of how they showed up for the customer, how they showed up for the product, how they showed up for the drivers. And then I was solely focused on how I showed up for them. And that really made me realize it's like, wow, this is my superpower. So I also joined the entrepreneurs organization at that time, EO, and it was a great peer group. And that's when I learned that, you know, they asked me, hey, can you step up and give these trainings or do these things? And I'm like, sure. And I started doing that. And I'm like, wow, I really love teaching. I love influencing. I love galvanizing people to live a better life. And people had seen my journey through the process. So they're like, what did you do? How did you do it? So I was more and more teaching them the tools and the systems and all the things that I was doing. But then EOS, which is the Entrepreneur Operating System, came out and said, you know, you're a success case. We don't have any implementers down in South Florida. Would you be interested in being part of our team? And I'm like, sure, I'll help implement different companies. I went through that so I could help other companies do it. And then I started realizing, wow, I really like this. This really aligns with my purpose, with what I love to do. And, you know, and the rest is history. So I started being more of a consultant than an implementer. And then in 2020, once I sold the other half of the food company, I said, you know what? I'm not a consultant. I want to build more. And that's how I built the firm. And we've become
So I want to talk about that. So you, sorry to interrupt, but you've become the largest EOS company, right?
Yeah. Firm in the world. Yeah.
In the world. So that was actually something I wanted to talk to you about, Cesar, right? So when back in 2021, when we were looking for an EOS implementer, we interviewed a bunch. And one of the things that really stuck out, you know, to us about you that we loved is that you were not looking at this as your sailing into the sunset of your career just to be the consultant for 20 different companies, you know, and be with us a few days a year. Hi, bye. I'm here. You were still actively in the trenches with building your company, right? Yeah. Building the profit recipe. And we said, wow, not only do we love him and love his energy, but I thought you were so much better aligned with us because here you were still trying to turn this into a company where, you know, everybody else we talked to was just a solo guy or girl who had, you know, had a successful company and wanted to kind of, you know, sail into the sunset. So why did you choose this route?
Yeah, I think first of all, one of my superpowers is the tools, the systems, teaching. I love influencing and getting there. But also another superpower is I love building business. Like I've built five businesses, sold three of them. And I'm still at that age where I'm still in the building mode. I think also my other superpower is community. I love bringing people together. And really, if you think about EOS and the Entrepreneur Operating System, right, which is the one that decentralizes the entrepreneur and helps them create systems of accountability within the teams, when I started doing that, I said, you know, there's three different ways people can implement, right? You can go self-implement. You can watch the videos on EOSworldwide.com. Go there, read the book, have someone in your team go through the videos and implement, right? So, you know, that's one way of implementing. Another way of implementing is you have implementers, like what you were saying. You're interviewing 5, 6, 3, 4 different implementers in your area or different places. And, you know, these are typically solo implementers, and, you know, it ranges from 15,000 to 50,000 a year. It's kind of the range of where you can go. We all manage the same process, the same system. It just varies based on experience. But the third way, I'm like, there's a third way missing, which is a community piece. You can implement solo with an implementer, or you can implement as part of a community, where here in South Florida, you know, we have, you know, I think in total, we have 160 companies we've implemented for up to date. And in South Florida alone, we have over 90 companies alone in South Florida, 80 something, which are actively implementing right now. So it's like, how do we create a community where not only you get your implementer to help you guide you through the process, but also other companies that are going through the same process, and you can benefit together to gain traction faster. So that's kind of the reason I built the firm as well.
So it's like you're in a way creating your own version of EO in a way.
Yeah, it's more like companies implementing EOS or companies going through. It's more, I think EO, entrepreneur organization, is more about you as an entrepreneur. One of the things that happens is that as entrepreneurs, we have a lot of venues, right? We have the networking, the chambers, the organizations, but our leadership teams don't. So this community is mostly focused for leadership team members. How do we upskill leadership team members faster? Because a lot of times it creates a gap. The entrepreneur and the owner starts, you know, evolving, learning, growing with different places externally, but the leadership team gets stuck and they're not growing at the rate that the entrepreneur is. Right. So we want to bridge that gap. We want to bring the leadership team into a community that they can learn and grow together.
That's brilliant, right? Because as you learn directly yourself, you could only grow so much as you invested in your team and up-leveled your team. So
exactly.
And I love it for us that you have so much involved for the integrators, because a lot of people forget about the integrators, and there's so many resources for the visionaries, right? The entrepreneurs, the owners, as you were saying, but the integrators, the firm administrators, the director of sales, director of marketing, all the different pieces that are playing key roles in businesses, they need some loving too. They need
community.
So that's amazing. So how is that going, and what's in the future for the Profit Recipe with the special community piece that you're building?
Yeah, starting June 1st, you know, before we used to charge for people to be part of community, and June 1st, we're moving that away because we realize that's our secret sauce. And that's what we want most of our companies to take advantage of. So now every company that implements with us is automatically part of that community. But also, we have companies that don't implement with us, but they want to self-implement, or they're learning about EOS and they just want to join the community so that their teams get upskilled as well. So that's what's new and exciting with that. But also, we're attracting amazing, amazing people. We have Isabel who currently... And I can say this now because she officially resigned. But she was a global head for Mandarin Oriental HR, and she's joining our firm within a month as part of one of our implementers. We have a guy who's taken more than 9 companies public who came as an implementer as well. We have people who come from the franchise world, the process world. We have people that are so much better than me. Isn't that one of the things that you go and say, you know, as the owner, entrepreneur, is like, you want to surround yourself with people that are so much better than you. So we're building a firm that I'm really proud of, and all these people with a lot of complimentary services and expertise to help our clients gain traction, you know?
Right. And I'm always trying to be the dumbest one in the room and just continue learning as well. And one of our sub core values at the Rossin Law Firm is just, you have to be a forever learner, wanting to grow, wanting to surround yourself. And I want to I think we should take a little bit of credit for Isabel, because she was in at one of our quarterlies. And I like to think that she loved working with us or observing us so much that it really inspired her to join.
That's true. That's true. She did shadow one of your sessions. That's true.
No, she was great. So look, after me spending that day with her, I know everybody in your community is going to be much better off for having her on part of the team. That's exciting. And it's exciting that you can attract top talent, right? And that's probably also one of your superpowers.
Yeah, I never thought, you know, and usually that's what happens, right? Where your energy goes, momentum goes, right? So I think right now I'm at that point and stage where, you know, we want to do work with the best companies, with the best people out there, and we're attracting that. So it's always rewarding to see the impact and see, you know, the people, also the referrals and the people that come to work with us.
So you have this team of, did you say six implementers?
Yes. Yep.
So six implementers, you're one of them. You're bringing on talent, you're building this community. And so what's the profit recipes, you know, 3 year, 5 year, 10 year vision? Cause we talk a lot about this in for my firm, right? With EOS and everything. So I know you guys run on EOS. So what is it? What's that next step?
Our purpose is to empower leaders to evolve so that we can change the world one company at a time. So we really believe in the stakeholder economy and how team needs to be involved, you know, based on my story and everything, how much transparent and accountability really helps people transcend their companies. So that's our purpose. So our BHAG, our five-year plan is we want 1,000 companies to have empowered 1,000 companies to evolve is what we say. So right now, I think we're like at 190 something. So we still have ways to go. We still have 5 years for that, but we do want to have 1,000 companies empowered at one way or another, either with a team member, with a workshop, with implementing, or with part of the community.
Okay. Well, if I know you guys can do it. And so when you've empowered those 1,000 companies, what does that actually look like for the community, the world, the, you know, local community, for your business, right? What's behind that?
Yeah. And the reason we say, you know, I believe personally that entrepreneurship changes the world. It's not government. It's not big business. It's really a small business, small entrepreneur, especially nowadays in the new singularity effect and the amount of chaos and change that's happening in the world today. It's small businesses that really make a difference within their employees and their communities. And a lot of people worry about big politics and, you know, and it's really what happens in your backyard that really matters and that really creates the impact. So we believe that entrepreneurs are really the source of change and for good. So what we want to do is we want to align purpose, values, and profit to community. And that way we all succeed. So for us, it's just it's like me. Two of my employees are now owners, founders, and they're entrepreneurs, and they're starting other businesses on the side. So just passing the torch and having a successful entrepreneurial community helps just everyone create value.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. And Cesar, you are just such an inspiration to me, to my entire firm, to probably everybody that you meet. You know, you probably don't even know how much you're loved and respected within the community, the entrepreneurs community, but just anybody who you meet. So, you know, again, thank you so much for being here. What would some parting words be, advice that you would have for maybe somebody who, you know, wants to become an entrepreneur or an entrepreneur who is stuck, right?
Yeah.
And trying to find themselves circa Cesar, 2011.
Yeah. I think my biggest learning is really understanding yourself. Understanding who you are, what your superpowers are, what your values, what your purpose is, what your ideal lifestyle is. A lot of us get into business without really considering what lifestyle I want. And really, if you ask yourself, why did I start this business? Am I where I want to be? And what does ideal look like? Am I there? I think it really starts helping you filter out decision-making and really start focusing on what really pushes the needle for you. And once you're in flow, once you get into the groove of really aligning to what you love to do and what you're great at and what you can make money in, then, you know, that's where the magic sauce happens and, you know, everything starts growth. And so I would say, like, if you ask me, why did I start my food business? It was opportunity. Why did I start food boats. Why did you start the food boats? Because I had a connection, right? Why did I start my software? Because I wanted to expand. But it was never aligned to my purpose. And I think that, you know, my two other businesses, what they do is always aligned to what I love to do and what I'm great at. and it just flows. It just attracts the people you need to attract. And it's much easier than going against the grain and doing something that you just don't align with.
Right. And I'm sure you wake up every day completely energized to build the day's business.
Yes, I do.
All right. Love it. Love it. All right. Well, Cesar, now how can anybody who wants to reach out and get in touch with you, how can they find you, talk to you? You know, where do you hang out?
Do you do? Our website, theprofitrecipe.com or quinterocesar.com. So my last name, first name.com is also another way to see everything I'm up to. But yeah, it's under theprofitrecipe.com, and then we can talk and see what you need and how we can help you. Even if it's not us, it's how we can connect you to our community or to different places that you can get what you're looking for.
Perfect. Perfect. And I know you have an event coming up that I can't go to. I'm so disappointed to the boat thing that you have.
Oh yeah. We got an amazing. Yeah. So one of our, it's, I think in June, one of our clients is, it's a tax and wealth management firm, and they're doing a boat ride for our clients so that we can all learn about how to maximize taxes and improve our investment flows. But that's kind of what we do in the community, right? So now we have another company who does a lot of marketing. So between different companies and partners and clients, we're trying to build everyone up so that we can all grow together.
Perfect. Perfect. And you know, in a few months, maybe we can do something where I'm talking to all the communities about white collar fraud and how to not be in trouble.
I love it. That's awesome.
Yeah, you never know, right? That is something that we handle. So, no, but if I saw that email about it and I really wanted to go, unfortunately, we have a new employee starting, I think the day before. Actually, I think that day is our big state of the firm address and takes, you know, we got to move mountains.
Yeah.
But all right. Well, Cesar, thank you again so much for being here. I hope everybody got value out of this. I highly encourage anybody listening to this, if they have questions or want to work with you or become a member of the community, they should absolutely reach out, because you have changed many, many, many lives. And I can speak from experience. You've changed my life. You've changed the firm's life. And many of our employees' lives have been changed because of you, and they don't even know it. So, and I'm sure I'm just one of many who could say those things. So Cesar, thank you. Thank you. Thank you. This was amazing wisdom, and love to hear your story. And maybe we'll, in a few, you know, years or a few seasons, we'll have you back.
Awesome. Thanks, Adam.
Yeah, of course. Thanks, Cesar. Take care.